what I think. There's a fascinating observation that I made over Pesach and really developed this thought throughout Pesach with a lot of siyata d'shmaya, of course. Notice that the Yontif of Pesach, well, there's really two blocks of Yomim Tovim of the year. The main Yomim Tovim. There's the Yontif of Pesach block, which stretches all the way to Shavuos and includes Pesach Sheni, Lag BaOmer. And then there's the Tishrei block, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So two corners of the year where we have tremendous Yomim Tovim, the main focus, the main Yomim Tovim of the year. And I noticed that Pesach and those Yomim Tovim have a lot to do with fire. Can I ask you for some examples, please? Okay, Lag BaOmer we'll get to soon, but it's true, Lag BaOmer has to do with fire, of course, the bonfires. Where? Burn the chametz, excellent. What else? Shavuos. What about Shavuos? Where's the fires on Shavuos? Shavuos is reminiscent of Kabbalah HaTorah, where there's a tremendous fire on top of our Sinai. What about Pesach itself? Carbon Pesach had to be roasted. Beautiful. What else? What's that? Amud Esh Balayla, that's a nice answer, okay. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they followed Amud Esh. Anybody kasher their kitchens before Pesach? Or you saw your parents kashering kitchens before Pesach? They use this fire. You use fire. Either you burn out all the residue in the kitchen, on the stovetop, in the oven. Everything that needs to be kashered, Hagala, Libun, all these different types of kashering, all is done with fire. What else? Karban Musaf, okay. The Karban Pesach was roasted, the Karban Musaf was offered on the Mizbeach, that's true. Search for chametz with a candle. Okay, good answer. What about matzah? Made with fire in a very, very short amount of time and it's burnt pretty crisp, at least for sure, like our minhag Ashkenazim, for sure. Okay, so there's a lot to do with fire this whole time of year. Pesach Sheni, of course, the Karban Pesach, the second time around, was also roasted. And Lag BaOmer, someone mentioned, Shavuos. So this whole part of the year has a lot to do with fire. Ever notice that the month of Tishrei has a lot to do with water? Let's start with Rosh Hashanah. Where do you have water in Rosh Hashanah? Tashlich, beautiful. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there's a halacha that a person is supposed to go to the mikvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies us. That's a purify yourself in water. What about Sukkot? Any connection to water on Sukkot? Nisach HaMayim, the main focus, the main simcha of Sukkot was this Nisach HaMayim, which we celebrate as the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Someone just mentioned we're very hypervigilant about rain Sukkot time because it will invalidate us from sitting in the sukkah. What else on Sukkot? Tfilas Geshem on Sukkot. Very good. Close. Tfilas Geshem, we bench on Shemini Atzeres at the end of Sukkot. One more thing, the Dalet Minim. The Dalet Minim grow in water. In fact, I believe the Rambam holds that they represent all different types of growth. Everything that has to do with water. So the month of Nisan and Iyar Sivan, these Yomim Tovim have to do with fire. And the month of Tishrei has to do with water. Very interesting observation. What do you make of it? This is what I was thinking about at the beginning of Pesach. So the most obvious distinction between fire and water, or before I get to that, let me just mention, someone mentioned before, Karbanos. We read the Karbanos Nisan time. Always, even in the leap year, it's later in Parshas Chumash Vayikra, but we're still reading about the Karbanos. Have to do with fire. Tishrei, right after Simchas Torah, we begin Parshas Bereishis, talks about the fact that it didn't rain because there was no man to daven for rain, Rashi says. Parshas Noach has the flood. Again, water. And the most obvious difference between fire and water, in the seventh grade, those who are learning about the Mazik of Eish, that's what we're learning about in the last few Mishnayos, and the rest of the parak has to do with the mazik of Eish of fire. What is an obvious difference between fire, physical property, the difference between fire and water? Tell me the most different, obvious difference. Okay, but something different than the way they play out, in the way they, I guess, exist. Fire can damage easier? Okay. Okay?
Fire destroys, water gives life.
Oh, fire also gives life.
Yeah, fire gives life.
Right? It's true, it depends how, and water can also destroy. Good, it depends. It depends. Good answer.
Water will just always spread. Water will just spread out as far as it can and fill the shape of its container. And fire will just. Fire can only miss it if there is fuel.
Okay. I mean, fires will also spread. That's part of what we're learning in Halacha. Okay, I hear you. What do you say?
Water can't put out fire?
Yes, it can.
Are you?
Oh, water can put out fire. Fire can also put out water. If a fire is strong enough and there's more fire than water.
Ooh.
So they could put out each other, depending how big they are.
Fire burns, water washes.
True, that's the most obvious. I'm looking for something more basic.
You need oxygen to keep the fire alive.
Okay, and there's oxygen in water. Okay.
Fire is energy.
Water also has energy. I don't know about that distinction. It's too scientific for me. Okay, maybe. I guess fire has to be lit, has to be made by man. That's an interesting thought. I didn't think of that. Could be. Fire hurts, so does water. If a person can't swim, chasam shalom. They both could destroy, they both give life. That's a good answer. That's true. How about this, gentlemen? Much more simple. So could water. Water could be burnt up. The difference that I was looking for is, and a lot of what you said was true, but the difference I was looking for, much more simple, is that fire goes up. Water goes down. Fire always, and that is why the neshama, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, ner Hashem nishmas adam, the neshama of a person is compared to fire. Because fire jumps upwards. It looks like it wants to go up. It's the only element in all of creation that jumps upwards. And if it jumps off the wick, it's going to die. And yet it still jumps, seems to jump upwards. What does that show? Like the neshama. It wants to go home. It wants to go back to Shemayim where it's pure. Even though if it jumps out of the body, chas v'shalom, it's not going to be alive anymore in this world. But that's why it symbolizes the neshama. Water always goes, mimakom gavol lamakom namach. Wherever you let it go, someone said before, wherever you let it go, that's where it will flow. And it will always flow downwards. So what does fire symbolize? What does it symbolize? It symbolizes, what would you say?
Pride.
Pride?
No.
Okay, I would say it a little bit differently.
Life.
Okay.
Wait, water or fire?
Fire.
Yeah, life. Energy.
Well, they both can symbolize life.
Painful.
Joy? Okay, I would say excitement. Passion. To do something with energy. That's what fire represents. The midah of zrizus, which simply translated as alacrity, it means excitement. To do something with emotion, to do something with feeling. What does water represent in Avodas Hashem? It goes from high to low. Think about it.
Warning. The filter in you.
That's a good thing to have.
Yeah, like but, if the fire's too strong, you got that filter.
Yeah, filters are good. Oh. That's true. But what else? Think about it, gentlemen. From up to down in Avodas Hashem, what does that represent?
Sadness.
Not sadness. I'm talking about an Avodas Hashem. It could be. Yes. Humble humility is the way to say it better. But yes, humility, anivus, nullifying myself before Hashem and saying, "I am your servant. Wherever you send me, Hashem, that's where I will go." So, what does that mean in effect? What is the difference between our avoda that we are supposed to do in the month of Nisan, and here in Sivan, whereas in contrast to the month of Tishrei, because it's two different avodos of Hashem. So I want to tell you, I was walking with my son in Yontif, and I was telling him this thought, I was still developing it, and I said, oh, I have a perfect mashal for the thought that I wanted to say. My children, my sons anyway, they apprehended the Afikoman and held it for ransom, and demanded that they go to a Yankee game. So my brother-in-law was able to arrange. We went to the Yankee game on Thursday night. Saw many, many Jews there. In our section alone, we could, in the nosebleeds, way up there, we were able to get a dominion from Marav and then some. We didn't have to go like congregate and gather 10 Jews. There were plenty of Jews there. Anyway, so my kids told me, I'm not much for listening to sports radio. I just like to hear that the Rangers won, the Yankees won, and then I'm happy. You know, that was good. But, there are those who are Mikayim. They fulfill the dictum of Chazal, Kol Amar V'Lesaper, Harezen Meshubach. The more you talk about it, the more praiseworthy you are. They think it talks means sports, and they talk about it all day and all night. So my kids told me on the way to the game, you have to listen to the sports. It's part of the experience. So we were listening to the pregame. Actually, it was before. It was the pregame. And we didn't say the brach. You don't say brach. But anyway, so someone called up Mike friend Francesa. What's his name? Francesa, right? Someone called up and said to him, you know, I'm very, very disgusted. He says, these Red Sox fans, the Yankees and Red Sox fans, for those who are not aware, really loathe each other, detest each other. The Red Sox fans think the Yankees are Paro and Mitzrayim, and the Yankee fans think that the Red Sox are Paro and Mitzrayim. Very evil, both sides. Anyway, so he said, I can't stand it. These people, they tell me, all these Red Sox fans, they tell me that the Red Sox in the last 10 years are better than the Yankees because the Red Sox have won three championships, right? Yankees only won one, and Red Sox were doing better, and whatever. All the Rayas and all the Svarus and all the Havaminos. And so Mike Francesis is back to him. He says, look, if you're going to compare the entire history, if you're going to compare the whole history of the Yankees, nobody, not the Red Sox, nobody can compare to the Maris and the Gehrigs and the Mantles and the DiMaggios and the Hoyts and the Munsons and the Mattinglys. You can't just, cannot compare. There's no, there ain't a diamond. No one can compare to the Yankees. He said, but if you're going to compare the last 10 years, he says the Red Sox have an edge over the Yankees. And he went through certain svaras where he said that, you know, and he said something that I thought was very fascinating. He said, you know, the Yankees, they built a new park. So it's a beautiful park and it's spacious and all the ticket prices went up. And it's, you know, but the bottom line is at the end of the day, you could say what you want. You can call it Yankee Stadium and it is Yankee Stadium and it's where the Yankees play and there's the same pinstripes. The bottom line is at the end of the day, it's not the house that Ruth built. It is not the same field where Mantle belted his home runs. Where Ruth belted his home runs, and where DiMaggio played, and where Garrett played his 2,000, whatever the number is, consecutive games. It's not the same field. It's right next to it. It's the same name, but it's not. There's something lost there. He says, whereas the Red Sox were able to renovate Fenway piece by piece, and it was extremely expensive, but they were able to renovate Fenway and keep the same exact park. I'll read you a quote that I saw in an article. He said that the person was trying to say why when there was a whole debate about whether Fenway should be demolished like Yankee Stadium and rebuilt as a new stadium or it should keep the old one. He said, listen to this lashon. It's such a lesson in chinuch. It should be preserved for no better reason that so our children and their children can go to the park and say, that's the mound where Babe Ruth pitched before you losers sold him to the Yankees. That's the box where Ted Williams swung his bat. That's the foul pole where Carlton Fisk homered off. Oh, such nostalgia. But the bottom line is, this is what I wanted to take from it, that there's two types of newness. Sometimes there's a newness where you just destroy everything in the past, like a fire. You burn it all up and you just start anew. You know, after a forest fire is the time when the most beautiful growth comes. Everything is demolished, destroyed. I think a fireman once told me that there's seeds in pine cones, and when they burn and they explode, the seeds all over the place, and everything grows. It is a stunning growth shortly after a forest fire, after everything is destroyed. It just starts and blazes everything and starts over. But then there are times when you don't want to completely start over. You want to maintain the past. You want to build on it. You want to fix it. You have to make things better, but you want to continue it. I'll give you another example that I was just thinking about this morning. Soon, I don't know if any of you know, but soon, in a few weeks, is summer vacation. 8-9 weeks in Ritz Hashem. So 2 months later, I'm talking to this side in the back of the room, 2 months later, Bez Hashem, we're going to see you all here again. You'll be moving up, going to a different class, different Rebbe, or at least a different schedule, you know, different classes, different responsibilities. So it's a renewal. You're starting over on some level, but it's still within Ashar. It's still with that same familiarity. There's some comfort in that, in going back to the place where you've always been, but being on a higher level with higher expectations and moving up in life. And then there are other people here that Be'ezus Hashem very, very shortly will be starting completely anew. They'll be starting in a new yeshiva. They'll be starting in a new location with new rabbeim, with new experiences. Not just new experience, a totally new experience. So both are necessary. Both are important. It depends on when. Pesach is the Leda, according to the Maral, is the Leda of Am Yisrael. It's when we were born. We weren't a nation. We didn't exist. We were a family with great roots, but we became slaves who forgot their past. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed us from the bowels of Mitzrayim and made us into a people. And when that happened, we began. We started. Everything from the past is burnt away, so to speak, like fires. Nothing exists from before. Forget the slavery. Don't forget it completely. Remember that you were slaves. But forget that feeling of lowliness and that brokenness. Build on it. Become a people. You are now a people marching to Har Sinai. And I think that that's what fire represents. By the way, one other point. Very, very interesting. There's two times of year when shortly after we sit down to a meal, we make a new bracha. One is Rosh Hashanah night. We say Bari Priyo Eitz. Don't sing it, but you all know, you did the apple. And there's many others, Simanim also, Simanim Milsa. Bari Priyo Eitz. On Seder night, it's not after, it's after we wash, not after we make a bracha, but after we wash, that we say a bracha Bari Priyo Adama. Because on Seder night, you know what Bari Priyo Adama is on a vegetable that comes from the ground? It didn't exist, it was just mud there, and all of a sudden there's a potato, there's celery, there's something that grew from the ground, it's brand new. That fits into what we're saying about Pesach being a Leda, a total new birth. But then there's other times, like a tree which regenerates every year, the fruit that grew now, a whole winter it's barren, but all of a sudden it grows a new tree. Look at the trees now, it's magnificent. And take a minute to look at the leaves that are coming out. It's amazing. The miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's amazing. And you look at it and there are fruits that are growing now that weren't there a few... But that's not a total newness. The tree was there. But it's a renewal. That's what Tishrei is about. On Tishrei, we don't turn our back on the past. You know, when a person wants to be about tshuva, a person wants to change, a person wants to be better. So a person's going to say, you know what, I want to fix all my sins. I want to fix all my mistakes. And they start going through all their mistakes. They'll become depressed. They won't be able to do it. The first step is, just start doing good things. Just do what's right. Make yourself feel good. You make brachas, you daven, you try to be nice to other people. You'll feel good. Then, in a few months from now, when you feel already like you're a person again, like you're close to Hashem, then you turn around and say, now let me fix my past. Now let me go back and fix all my mistakes. That's the symbolism of water. Water cleanses, it washes away. That's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot is not starting over from the beginning. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot is I'm taking what already exists and I'm making it holier. I'm cleaning away all the garbage that was there. Bottom line is, gentlemen, this time of year is a time when we just jump into Kedusha. It's a different type of tshuva. It's not a tshuva where we have charata. I mean, it's always good to have charata, vidui, and aziva, sachet, the steps of tshuva which we need. That's always a good thing. But the main focus this time of the year is jump in with fire, with excitement. Serve Hashem. We're working now. We're ready more than a week in to Sfiras Omer. We're on a road heading to Kabbalah Satorah. Every year it's a re-Kabbalah Satorah. You don't accept the Torah with, you know, half asleep. It has to be with excitement, with passion. I am proud. I'm so excited. I'm so happy to be a Jew. That's this time of year. The fire of serving Hashem with excitement and not just doing it passively. I think that's a big part of what our avodah is this time of the year. We start Pirkei Avos this Shabbos. It's a big, big thing to learn a parak a week. You're not finished all parak even to learn a few mishnayos. It's a beautiful, beautiful accomplishment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help all of us that we should be zochet together to be mekabel Torah on Shavuos and to grow with that fire and excitement. And then Emir Tzashem, when it comes time, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, and Sukkot, to wash away our averos and become the amazing people that all of us are in the middle of becoming. Have a wonderful Shabbos.